Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. The oil industry has recently become a bigger and bigger focal point in election year politics. On one hand, Democrats on the Hill announced new efforts this week to highlight what they argue are deceptive practices, including collusion by big oil. They're also trying to tie oil companies to Republicans, and specifically former President Donald Trump. And speaking of Trump, he met with oil executives just yesterday in Houston, 1 month after he asked industry officials to contribute $1 billion to his presidential campaign. So today, Politico's Ben LaFave and I discuss the latest attacks by Dems against big oil, all while Trump asks for their help. It's Thursday, May 23rd.
Yesterday, we saw Democrats on the House Energy and Commerce Committee say they wanted a group of seven oil companies to answer a bunch of questions related to allegations of price fixing. As we saw a few weeks ago, the Federal Trade Commission say that they were investigating whether Scott Sheffield, the former CEO of this oil company, Pioneer Natural Resources, whether he was in communications with members of OPEC, the big oil cartel, and other domestic oil companies, U.S. oil companies, whether they were communicating together to basically fix production, like amongst themselves, in a bid to kind of keep prices up. What happened yesterday was committee ranking member Frank Pallone Jr. came out and said he wanted to hear from these oil companies, Chevron, Occidental, Devon, a few others, including Exxon, who bought Pioneer subsequent to all this, basically asking for any communications that their staff may have had with members of OPEC or other oil companies, and whether they had any meetings with OPEC or other oil companies. This is like the second time that we've heard letters going out to oil companies asking for this kind of thing. And then it wasn't just the House side today that was announcing investigations into oil industry. There was something in the Senate side too, right, Josh?
Yeah, that's right. I was over at a press conference on the Senate side where Sheldon Whitehouse, the chair of the Senate Budget Committee, and Representative Jamie Raskin, who's a House member, top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, basically announced that they are sending a formal request for the DOJ, Department of Justice, to investigate whether some of the largest oil companies that we know, whether, you know, that's Exxon, Chevron, and European oil majors Shell and BP, and some other trade groups, American Petroleum Institute, and the broader business group Chamber of Commerce, whether these groups and businesses, Raskin and Whitehouse, said that they've, over a three-year investigation themselves, found a pattern of, quote, deceptive practices about the effects of their products on climate change and just kind of like their plans in regards to addressing it in the future. So they're now saying, okay, DOJ, we did all this work. Like, we feel like there's enough here for you to actually open your own investigation to look into any potential violation of federal laws. They didn't really at the press conference go into detail on what those laws are. Of course, this narrative is something we've seen Democrats. I mean, it's not as new. I do think the component of where they say that they have evidence that the fossil fuel industry in particular is kind of like misleading about the dangers of natural gas, which of course we've seen the industry really pivot to and try to make the case that it's this bridge fuel off coal to renewables, you know, that they're kind of misleading just about what they know around how bad methane is and just like how carbon capture, this technology that the industry is really talking about, isn't necessarily like the solution that's going to overcome all the emissions that oil and gas produce. You know, that development's interesting. And what I heard over on the Hill, too, is kind of this continued narrative, right, that we see from the other side, from Republicans, where they're similar in messaging to the industry, saying this is all a distraction. This isn't, you know, like it was a few decades ago. They're committed to low carbon. They need policy to help them make these investments. That's kind of been the vibe on the Hill. And of course, this conversation's happening, I think, not coincidentally, as former President Trump. There's been a lot of attention. Ben, you've been doing a lot of reporting on how he's trying to really woo the oil and gas industry for money as we're getting close to election time. And he's actually had a lunch with industry officials in Houston yesterday. So what have you learned about what Trump's looking to do there and just how those conversations are going between industry and Trump?
They're interesting conversations. Basically, Trump is really trying to rev up the amount of money he's getting from oil executives. We saw a number of executives who had been backers of his when he was president, who had kind of shied away. We saw Harold Hamm, who had been Trump's kind of informal energy advisor when Trump was president. You know, he was giving money to Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley's campaigns. We saw a few others do that. And then Trump had to try to woo them back. So he's had a few kind of like meet and greets with different executives where he's basically telling them, I'll do whatever you want me to do. The industry kind of not quite believing that Trump will be able to keep the promises he's making. And they're trying to be more aggressive about pinning him down and actually, as we've reported, preparing actual specific language for Trump to sign if he gets back in the White House to kind of get the policy done that they want done. The other issue he's having is that, you know, he told them famously that he wanted the industry to donate $1 billion to his campaign. A lot that caught a lot of people kind of mouth open on that. They were kind of like, what? Trying to herd a lot of oil executives to give that amount of money is not going to be an easy task. A number of executives are just a little chuffed at the fact that even if they give the Trump campaign money, a lot of it's going to go to his legal bills, just the way that the campaign donations system is set up with Trump and the RNC. So they're kind of thinking, wait, you're asking me for all this money, but a good percentage of it is not even going to go to your campaign for president. It's going to go to paying off your lawyers. There's a little bit of wariness, I think, that Trump is trying to smooth over with these lunches.
Also, the Edison Electric Institute, one of the most influential energy players in Washington, is suing EPA over its power plant climate rule. EEI represents investor-owned utilities, and it argues EPA wrongly relied on the use of carbon capture technology to meet its emissions goals, while defending some other parts of the rule. The move by EEI is unusual since it rarely gets directly involved in litigation over regulations because the utilities it represents are usually on both sides of an issue. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron, who is innovating to help responsibly meet rising energy demand across their U.S. operations, like at their Gulf of Mexico facilities, which are some of the world's lowest carbon intensity operations, helping supply energy that's affordable, reliable, and ever cleaner. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/meetingdemand.